Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, December the 20th. And the time is ticking if you still haven't gotten all your Christmas shopping done. And did you get all those work projects off your desk yet so you can enjoy some time off over the holidays? Are you worried about all the credit card bills that are going to be coming in January? Are you thinking that this coming year in 2008 you'll finally follow through with that resolution to do something, to do anything to get more enjoyment out of life? That you'll take more time to smell the roses, that you'll leave the rat race behind and maybe even leave that job that you hate so much? Well, if this sounds like you or someone you know or used to sound like you until you did something about it, please join in our discussion this hour with the author of The Freedom Manifesto, who has lots of suggestions for all of us how to free ourselves from anxiety, from fear, mortgages, guilt, debt, boredom, work, waste, and more. Have you figured this out already? Well, please share if you have. Or if you want some advice, please ask 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Our guest is Tom Hodgkinson. He is the founder of The Idler, which is considered one of the UK's most influential small magazines. He is a frequent contributor to many publications. He is the author of the book How to Be Idle, and his new book is The Freedom Manifesto. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning. Hello, are you there? Well, I guess we have to try to reestablish contact with our guest. He's joining us from England, and must have stepped away from his phone for a moment. So, anyway, he's going to tell us how we should stop consuming and start creating, how we should quit moaning and be more creative, be alive, be merry, and be free. 1-800-642-1234 is the number that you can use to join in the discussion. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Tom Hodgkinson, as I mentioned, authored How to Be Idle. And there is this magazine, The Idler, that he still does work for. He founded The Idler in 1993. He lives in Devon, England. And I think we have him on phone now. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on the show.
So just before we came on, we heard all the news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and many people listening to this program are, for the most part, news junkies. We read a lot of newspapers and websites, and we listen to a lot of radio news and talk shows, and some of us probably watch some TV news too. You say that that's one of the reasons so many of us are so anxious.
Yes, I do. This idea was put to me by a friend a few years ago who I went to interview for The Idler. And this guy was like a sort of punk musician, a sort of an anarchist. And he said, well, I don't read the newspapers. I don't watch television. In fact, I rarely even listen to the radio. Although I'll say out of all three mediums, radio is my favorite.
Good.
And I said, well, why? Because of the anxiety it causes. And the helplessness I feel, you know, it's not like I can create world peace or, you know, stop the war or anything like that on my own. And he doesn't even think that the standard of information is really that good because it's just the latest bit of news. And then you know, a more true picture emerges over time. Yeah. And it's one of these things, it sort of contributes to the general level of anxiety. And I think that's a big problem for a lot of us in the Western world. We have busy lives, stressful jobs, we have a lot of debt. You know, we're sort of chasing a dream by hard work and money.
Yeah, does that mean, though, that you've given up on consuming so much news then?
I have, and it does make a difference. I mean, I've noticed that world events carry on very well on their own without me listening to them or hearing about them. And I can go off into my own little world more easily. Yeah. And I'm not motivated by anxiety so much, I guess.
But you're a journalist. Don't you need to keep up on all that's going on in the world?
Yeah, well, I do keep up a bit kind of through conversation. And, I'm not fanatical about it. I do listen to the radio sometimes, and I look at websites and so on. I've just de-junkified myself, I guess. I used to think it was my duty as a world citizen to get depressed every night by listening to the world news, and I don't do that anymore, and I think I'm happier for it.
Yeah. So have you thrown out the TV?
Almost. It's not that easy. We have small children, and they don't agree with my views. At the moment, I think it's kind of broken, but what we do is we watch films, we watch DVDs on the computer, and I think that's great, and, I can let them watch Tom and Jerry a million times, The Simpsons, good, funny stuff, good movies, we love, but I don't like the advertising that you get on television.
We need to check our weather forecast. It's a weather break time, and then we'll continue talking with a guest who says we should stop consuming so much and start producing, that we should quit moaning and be creative. He's the author of The Freedom Manifesto, How to Free Yourself from Anxiety, Fear, Mortgages, Money, Guilt, Debt, Government, Boredom, Supermarkets, Bills, Melancholy, Pain, Depression, Work, and Waste. Have a question about how you might free yourself from any of those burdens? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, December the 20th. Coming up after 4 o'clock this afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. Christmas is just around the corner, and for some, it can't get here fast enough, but others can't wait until it's over. After 4, Ben and his guest will explore the true meaning of Christmas and ask what it means to you. Well, this is a time of year when many of us are shopping for Christmas gifts, racking up credit card debt, freaking out if the house isn't clean for that holiday get-together. It's not so merry right now for some of us, and we are talking with a guest who has some suggestions on how we might make it merrier, how we might declutter and de-worry our lives a little bit more. And we welcome your thoughts and questions for him. Have you figured out a way to simplify your life, to live a happier, less anxious life? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And please include your first name and your community with your email. So, Tom, do you have any prescriptions for the frenzied holiday shopper this morning?
Well, what I would like to say is that I think the word merry is a really lovely one, and it's a kind of a medieval word. It was a very important idea in medieval Europe that you really had a kind of duty to be merry, because let's say roughly 500 years ago over here, people had a more sort of community-minded approach to life, and merriment was a way of bringing together the community. So this is the kind of thing that we actually remember at Christmas, and Christmas is one of our most ancient feasts, really, and it probably predates Christianity. But it's the idea that we come together as a group and dance and sing and drink spiced wine. Mm-hmm. And I think that's actually the true spirit of Christmas, is feasting, dancing, singing together with your friends and your family. Not so much the presents and the, yes, it is nice to exchange gifts. And, again, I'm not going to be fanatical about not consuming. We've got three small children, so I'm not going to sort of, deprive mm-hmm. them of their little things. But I think that's the important thing to remember. It's a time for enjoying ourselves. It's a time for a long break from work, as long as you can manage. What can I say? Lots of alcohol.
Yeah, you're a fan of having some ale, right?
Yeah, and I really think I'm not talking about getting drunk every night, but I think we tend to sort of pathologize drinking a little bit too much in the States, and certainly is the case in the UK. We worry about it. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, sort of a good drink every evening and a few beers, maybe more at the weekends, really helps life to go by more smoothly. You know, wine is a gift from the gods, and so is beer. Yeah. I'm with Homer Simpson on that one.
You're a fan of The Simpsons.
Well, it's such a wonderful show because it's actually very warm about family life, very honest, and it's very comforting. So, you know, to watch it really cheers me up because the script writers are geniuses. They understand, you know, the dynamics of a family. I have a very similar setup. You know, I feel like Homer Simpson now. In fact, I think I'm slightly older than Homer Simpson, which is a bit of a worry. But we've got a boy of 7, and then a middle daughter of 5. He's very smart, and then a little baby of 2. Mm. So I identify with it a lot, and you know, the need for the dad to sometimes get out of the house and drink beer with his buddies is something I identify with.
Let me go to the phone. Cindy joins us from Duluth, Minnesota. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, good morning. I love The Simpsons, too. It's kind of our family tradition for about, maybe 20 years. Every Sunday night after dinner, we all watch The Simpsons. So I just thought I'd call and mention some sort of a life change my husband and I made. It's been a year and a half now. We decided to virtually sell everything, almost everything we owned. We sold our house and our cabin, and we had a boat, and we sold that, and we sold anything that had a motor, because motors take up way too much time, or an engine. They always are breaking. Mm-hmm. So we got rid of our lawnmower and our snowblower, and we bought just one small house. It's very small and energy efficient, and it's actually on a little lake, and we have a paddle boat. We don't even have.
Wow.
And when we moved, we sold, I guess, around 3/4, I would guess, of what we owned.
Wow.
When we had our big sale, people would tell me things like, oh, you can't sell your grandmother's fill-in-the-blank. And I said, well, yes, I can. I was brutal about it.
Yeah. Cindy, tell us why. What prompted you to sell off all this stuff?
Well, my husband and I, we just talked a lot about our stuff owning us. And now every time I buy something, because I don't have any closets or a basement or anything, every time I buy something, I have to decide. I have to look at it. I have to have it out because there's no place to put it. And I'm going to have to dust it and have to maintain it or whatever. So is it worth it? Is it worth my time to do that? And so what prompted us is a feeling of just claustrophobia and a feeling of arguing over silly things like the fact that the snowblower was broken, or that we had a snowmobile once, but that was broken. They were always in the shop. And we just decided, the heck with all of this. We're just, the heck with it. And we just live very simply now.
That's pretty amazing. But is that what you advocate, Tom?
Well, yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's a wonderful story. Mm-hmm. And the point about machines is that, you know, we've been using technology with a kind of a dream that it's going to free us from toil and labor, you know, labor-saving devices. But, you know, as we just heard, actually, weirdly, paradoxically, the opposite seems to be true, because you have to spend so much time maintaining these machines. They go wrong, you have to work to buy the oil to keep them up, you know. But two oars, what do you need? You just need your body. And I think the point is, you know, do we actually need all this kind of stuff, or has this stuff, has a want, a desire for this stuff, been deliberately manipulated in us by the advertising men, you know, by the consumer economy? And I mean, we found we're on a gradual process of simplifying. And the more you chuck out this stuff, the more time opens out. You have more leisure, more time to read, more time to spend with your family, more time for merriment, you know.
Yeah.
And somehow the hard work and buy lots of machines idea of life leaves us with very little time.
Yeah. And Cindy, are you still there?
I am.
Yeah. So have you found yourself happier with more time for merriment?
Oh, it's very much so. I mean, very much so. My husband and I, we find ourselves reading all the time. We've always loved to read. But we're reading more. We also found that there's some things that are really important in our life that we really would like to give some of our time and our money and our resources to, and we're able to feel like we can give more generously because we haven't just paid $300 or something to have the boat fixed.
Yeah, so, but then you're not boating and snowmobiling and having that kind of merriment.
No, not at all. Not at all.
But you don't miss that.
Well, you know, I never was really that kind of person anyway. Mm-hmm. And no, not a single bit ever. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Cindy, for sharing your experience. I don't know if I'd be that brave. Do you have your own? Did you do you grow your own vegetables and kind of stuff?
No, and because both of us seem to, yes, we try, but both of us seem to be terrible at it. But right now, I'm in the middle of reading Animal Vegetable Miracle. Mm-hmm. Probably familiar with that book.
Sure, the local.
Right, mm-hmm. And we tried. You know, we really try to buy local, and. But I'll tell you, I am the worst vegetable gardener in the world. So it's a goal of ours, but we're not naturally talented at it.
I brought that up, Tom, because that's one of your suggestions is plant your own garden or grow your own vegetables.
Yeah, that's something that we did when we came down. Because about 5 years ago, we moved out of London 200 miles west to Devon, which is like near Cornwall in the bottom left-hand corner sort of thing of England. You know, we're just renting a cottage, but there was a little bit of a garden space there. And, I'm also not the greatest vegetable gardener, and, the old Puritan in me is very embarrassed by the appearance of the vegetable patch. It's so scruffy. But, you know, we have produced a lot of stuff, and it's really such good fun, you know. And it's so convenient. You don't have to drive anywhere. I mean, it's just on your doorstep.
But
you know, right
looks...
now we've got leeks and parsnips up there.
I've tried this, and sometimes it's hard work, and I think of somebody who likes to be idle it's hard work to garden, isn't it?
Well, sometimes my friends come down, and they're quite disappointed by how hard I seem to be working around the house. But it's a great pleasure. That's the other thing I found. Mm-hmm. It's very therapeutic. Mm-hmm. And when I started it, we were going through all sorts of problems with the book project. And, just one of these kind of stressful situations we were going through. And but it was such a pleasure to go up to the garden after lunch and potter around, you know. I mean, it was a lot of hard work to establish the thing in the first place. But then you find out that actually the most kind of planet-friendly or organic or whatever you call it, eco-friendly ways of gardening are actually ones that involve the least interference from man. So, for example, when I started it, I was told by the books, because I'm getting this all from book learning, having no practical experience and being a very impractical person too, so... You know, I'm up there with the book in one hand and the spade in the other.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I need to jump in because we have to listen to that stressful news once again from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. But after this news break, we'll continue talking about how we can free ourselves from anxiety and fear and debt and waste, how we can be free, talking with the author of The Freedom Manifesto. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's now 6:36 on this Thursday, December the 20th. So do you live a happy life? Are you happy? Or are you constantly on the treadmill, working long hours, climbing that career ladder so you can have the money that you think you need to buy all that stuff you think you should have? Do you have any fun? Our guest is a big advocate of having more fun. He is the author of The Freedom Manifesto, which tells us all sorts of ways we can free ourselves from anxiety, fear, mortgages, money, guilt, debt, government, boredom, supermarkets, bills, melancholy, pain, depression, work, and waste. He is Tom Hodgkinson, and he'll answer your questions or respond to your experiences trying to simplify your life, how you perhaps have stopped consuming so much and started producing more. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or talk at WPR.org. Robin in Wausau has been waiting. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for your program.
Well, thanks for calling. Are you someone who has tried to simplify your life?
We have for several years, and we're working very hard at it. We have a small business, so we do have some debt associated with that, but we are working it off. But what we do, like at this time of year, is we don't use credit cards. We just use debit that comes out right now, and we have a limit on each person, and those limits are fairly low. And I also go pick up things during the year that I'll stash away in a particular place in the house so that I'm not having to do all of it at this time of year, but I've set things aside so that when it comes to this time of year and I go through and review that, I've got a lot of things already taken care of. We also, I wanted to point out, you mentioned the home gardening. We've been doing that for several years. We happen to enjoy it. It is a challenge. You know, we have a short season up here, mm-hmm. but it is so rewarding. And every year you learn something. We can more every year. My husband hunts, so all of our red meat is venison. So we get our food that way. We try and buy locally. If, you know, someone doesn't care to garden, you know, you can buy locally. And I wanted to say, too, when we first bought our home, we kept it very modest. And it was an older home, but it was in good shape. And we knew we could do things over a period of years to it. But what our goal was to make the mortgage payment the same as if we were to rent a home or an apartment of the same size.
Mm-hmm.
And so that we weren't over, you know, spending right off the bat. And it was a home we could work on over a period of years, but a good, solid, smaller home that that we could enjoy over the years. So.
Yeah. Well, and are you having fun?
Yes. You know, I don't worry about the bills coming out in January and February because they're not going to be there.
Yeah.
I haven't done that. In our family, we exchange names, so we're not, you know, buying everybody everything because as adults, most of us buy what we need anyway. I think our biggest problem, I don't know if it's true in Britain as much as here, but, you know, you're always trying to keep up with the Joneses and the consumption. And, you know, if I had my way, we wouldn't even probably have a television because I agree that, you know, the advertising just makes you think you got it. You need this and you need that. And, we really actually don't.
Well, it doesn't sound like Robin needs to buy your book, Tom.
It sounds like he's even more advanced than I am down this path, yeah. another very inspiring call, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you have this sort of simplicity movement in Britain?
Yeah, it's not as clearly defined as in the States, but there is certainly, you know, your callers have been talking about shopping locally, you know, producing some of your own food, and there is certainly that. There is that vibe. There is that kind of movement going on you know, the more kind of, I suppose, well, actually, all our newspapers are talking about these things, these issues. Yeah, people are trying to sort of buy, shop ethically, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we're sort of thinking, well, although the man's achievements have been wonderful, you know, aeroplanes, trains, the automobile, vast machinery, you know, underground mining, or whatever it is, maybe we've gone a bit too far. And maybe this life is not really sustainable, you know. We have a huge dependence on oil. The amount of plastic I find in my life, you know, even cars get more and more full of plastic than they were even sort of 10 years ago.
Yeah. Speaking of plastic, have you cut up your credit cards?
Yes. Sorry, to go back to that one. Yeah, that's a great one. Yeah, I did do that 2 years ago because I thought I could discipline myself. But, you know, when it's there and you've got the two cards and you're going to, shall I pay now or shall I pay later? It's always more tempting to pay later because you always think, yeah, well, something will, you know, something's going to happen, something will change. I'll get better at managing my finances or, you know, I'll be earning more in the future, you think. And that never really seems to happen. So I've done the same thing. I'm just down to, like, one bank account with one debit card. So, you know, I'm not going to go into that horrible debt that I used to.
Yeah, I think I remember that you also advocated not having automatic withdrawals of bill payments from your checking account.
Yeah, that's right, which at first sight might sound puzzling because surely that makes our lives easier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to write the check, you don't have to telephone to pay the bill. But you know, and surely it creates less less paperwork and, you know, less bureaucracy. But there's something kind of sneaky about these. We call them direct debits. Do you have that phrase?
Yeah, or electronic funds transfer.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, there's something a bit. I read a statistic that there's millions and millions of pounds here go out with these things because people have forgotten to cancel them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've done that with a mobile phone. I've kind of changed the mobile phone. I've forgotten to cancel the old one, and it does give the person a license to kind of reach into your bank account and take out any amount of money that they want to. That's another way of thinking about it. I mean, I know these things are quite well controlled. And also, I found that doing things by invoice, by check, it made me realize how much I was spending. And so it gives you a greater sense of the money that's going out. If you have these automated transfers going out, you don't really sort of notice them. And they can go up and down. But if you've got to sit down there and write the check out or pick up the phone and, you know, make the payment, it makes you think about what you're spending. And as a result, I sort of cancelled lots of the services that I was paying out for, and, you know, the cell phones or whatever. And even though these are small amounts, you know, a few of them can add up to, you know, you can easily get up to £1,000 a year or...
Or
that goes on.
To
me, that's £1,000 less that I have to earn, so that's more time for staring out the window.
Here's an email from Lydia in Comstock. Hi, I applaud the idea of listening to less news. I stopped listening 13 years ago, except to this station's early morning news. Well, thank you, Lydia. When my first baby was born and I was in the hospital, I heard about a flesh-eating virus, and then I heard about a mother who drowned her kids. Way, way too much stress. I have not missed it at all. And then she goes on to say that she also plays tapes and DVDs rather than having her watching TV. And she says one side effect of not seeing all those commercials is that she'll take her young kids to the store or a department store and they can walk through the toy section and the kids won't find anything they want.
Wow.
Go figure.
That is great, isn't it? I mean, I still have that problem going shopping with the children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Can I have that? I want that. I want that. And I just find I'm saying no, all day long. And I need to get, like I said, a tape recorder that will just repeat it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow, you know, even without watching television, these things seem to come into our household via the computer or the internet or shopping catalogs. So that's one of I still have that battle with my consumerist children, trying to make them into anti-consumerist children.
Well, good luck.
Hard job.
Good luck with that. We're going to check weather once again, and then we will continue talking about how we can free ourselves from debt and from worry and from boredom. Our guest is the author of the book The Freedom Manifesto, Tom Hodgkinson. He is the author of the book How to Be Idle as well, and he founded the publication The Idler. 1-800-642-1234. Need any advice on how to simplify your life or how to have less worries and have more fun? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Or maybe you've already done some of these things. Tell us your story and why you decided to simplify. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 13 minutes before 7 o'clock. Coming up after 7, toxic toys made in China have parents worried over what their kids might receive this holiday season. We'll talk with a guest after 7 who says America's trade policy is to blame. So we'll wonder what you think about that coming up after 7 o'clock. Right now we're wondering how you try to de-stress, how you try to free yourself from anxiety and debt and boredom. Our guest has written a book with suggestions on how to do all this. It is called The Freedom Manifesto, and he is Tom Hodgkinson. And we have an open line for you, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We welcome your thoughts and questions for him. Jay in Madison joins us. Hi, Jay.
Hello. Yeah, I'd like to thank your guests. This is a great show. And I couldn't agree more as far as the news goes. I find if I block that out, my day seems to go a lot better. I've noticed, you know, as far as stress goes, I started an aquarium, you know, about 5 years ago. I set up a nice marine aquarium downstairs in the basement. And, you know, if I'm feeling a little stressed, I just go down there, you know, check it out. It takes a very little bit of work in your week to keep that thing looking nice. And you just sit there and go into a different world looking into that. And you know, if you got little children, they can... That just puts them right to sleep as well. So I guess that's just my comment.
That sounds good to me. What about you, Tom?
Well, that's a beautiful idea. I think probably what's going on there is the contemplation of nature and the watery element. You know, I think that's probably also why fishing is such a good one and so popular, angling. Because, you know, you're just there with the stillness and the calm of fish and water and trying to figure out that kind of mystery of what's going on under the surface of the water. It's a kind of reconnection with nature. I think that's one of our big problems is that we've become disconnected from nature.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've become too computerized, too machine-orientated.
Yeah,
to find ways to, you know, get out there and just, you know, feel the elements, I think that's really important, very therapeutic.
Yeah, one of your solutions to banishing anxiety is to be more carefree, and the suggestion at the end of that chapter is ride a bike.
Well, this is something that I found when I was still living in London. I was working at that time, and, you know, my commute was pretty bad. It was, I guess, an hour each way. And as anyone who's been on the London Underground knows, it's not a very pleasant place to be for 2 hours of the day. Kind of a waste of time. But I was still kind of bound to this work I was doing and more or less had to get in there every day. But so what I did, and my business partner did as well, was just get on the bicycle. And, you know, that there's such a feeling of freedom. And we talked about it, we'd have these kind of joyful moments cycling through London. And you see the city and actually the beauty of the city, and you can take your own route, you can stop, you can sit outside a cafe on the way. And the pleasure of moving your own, of getting yourself across the city with your own body and not paying money, not stopping yourself into a hot, crowded bus, not getting stressed out because you're late and, you know, the machines go wrong as machines do tend to go wrong. The bicycle is a beautiful piece of technology. I mean, you can't really improve on it. And I guess a great pleasure to be on one. And of course, you know, fantastic exercise too.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Jay. Judy in Manchester. Hi, you're on the air.
Well, good morning and Merry Christmas to both of you.
You too.
I just wanted to share that we live in rural Wisconsin and we have a way that we simplify our food budget. We have Bent and Dent grocery stores in our area. It's a fairly new concept, and often they're run by Amish communities.
I hadn't heard of this.
But these are products that may be dented, or perhaps the coupon has expired on the product, but the product is still good. And we find that we save anywhere from 75 to 80% on our food budget that way.
Wow.
Wow, that is a lot. And you're not worried about any health issues from dented cans?
No, these products are checked before they're put on the shelves, and then you as a consumer, of course, need to look at them. But I have never found a problem, and we also find that we're more creative in our cooking because we have to look at the products that we have and then create from there instead of, oh, I'm going to make XYZ today.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, that has just simplified our cooking and our budget.
Thank you, Judy. How, Tom, do you suggest we free ourselves from supermarkets in your book?
Well, that's a great one. And interesting, isn't it, that it comes from the Amish community, who've been sort of practicing these sorts of ideas of self-sufficiency, building your own houses, and, you know, just staying out of that consumer society for, well, how long? Over 100 years or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I love the point about the creativity in cooking. Because that's exactly what we find at home. We don't look at the recipe book or look up a recipe, you know, in the office on the internet. Oh, I want that. I'll go and buy those ingredients. We see what we've got, and then you create something out of that. And my wife, Victoria, is very, very good at that. What we do to save money is, instead of going to the supermarket, and actually it's a long way for us, we're very living in a remote area, but we found that we can get together with other families locally and buy wholesale. So we buy wholesale from a Whole Food wholesaler, and they will deliver. And there's a minimum order, which would be in dollars, I don't know, sort of $400-$500. But you can quite easily get up to that, you know, if there's a few of you.
Mm-hmm.
And then this stuff is delivered to you at wholesale prices. You know, so why drive to the supermarket, wasting all that time and fuel to buy stuff at retail when you can have it delivered to your door at wholesale, you know, and it's very, very good quality stuff. And you get a catalogue, you go through it. It's like you're, and we have a little shop here, you know, we've got a little village shop in the storeroom.
Yeah. I wanted to touch a little bit on your thoughts on career. You dislike the phrase, what was it, work-life balance, and believe that we should not so much be worried about climbing the career ladder, but finding a vocation. Tell us the difference.
Well, I think career is somebody else's idea of success in work, which we then subscribe to. So it's about kind of how you're perceived, you know, by the boss or co-workers or, you know, friends and acquaintances. I'm doing really well can mean I'm going up the ladder, I'm earning more money, but it doesn't necessarily mean I'm enjoying myself. It doesn't necessarily mean I'm finding, you know, creative satisfaction in my work. But there is a kind of work you can do, which I call vocation. Well, I call it. I mean, that's a familiar word. Trying to find something that you do that you love, and then it doesn't really feel like work. You know, look at the alternatives to the full-time job and the stressful career. Can you find some kind of work which you enjoy, which also earns you a living? And also, I find that once people sort of get out of the full-time job trap, as I would call it, you just don't need so much money. I mean, that it's a big. When people say, "Well, I'd really like to follow this kind of lifestyle, but you know, I've got my mortgage, I've got my certain outgoings, I need that job, you know, I need that money." But when people finally get out of it, you find that you don't need so much money because you're not working. You don't need to compensate, you know, for the stress by spending money. You don't need to spend the money on the smart clothes and the traveling and, you know, keeping up a certain kind of lifestyle.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's my story on that. My husband, if he does come home from work, griping about work, I'll say, "So quit," and he'll say, "No, I have to pay the mortgage."
Yeah.
So, we have to. Are you saying maybe we don't have to pay that mortgage? We can sell the house and pay rent instead.
Yeah, you can pay rent. There are alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a mortgage. I've got a strange situation. We have a little house in London that is rented that we pay a mortgage on, and then we're renting a house from somebody else down here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in the same. Sorry, I just heard a child shouting.
Oh, I hope he's. let me get one more caller in before we're done. We're just about done. Cheryl in Kenosha.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I wanted to say that I grew up in rural Wisconsin. When I was young, we didn't even have indoor plumbing.
Wow.
Got away from that, went to school, got my master's, and now my husband and I both work in an area where people are very, very wealthy and very affluent. I'm a therapist and he's an accountant. And we also decided that we don't need this. So we don't have TV. At home, we don't have the internet. We do our own gardening. My father still has a farm. We get all of our meat up there. We butcher it ourselves and process it ourselves. My concern, though, is that we love it. But my concern is that I find that as my children get more and more involved in the community, they almost seem to be behind because they don't have knowledge of a lot of the commercialism. They don't see it. They don't understand all these kinds of toys and gadgets and computers and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And so my concern is we love it, and I think that it's much healthier. I do all of my own cooking. We never buy processed foods.
But, we only have a minute to go, Cheryl. Tom, your kids or her kids might be, I don't know, behind the times because they don't know all these computer things.
Yeah, we do. I mean, well, they seem to keep themselves up with doing it at school or with friends. Or, you know, we do have the internet at home, actually. So, but no, that is a problem. I think you just have to be confident in, you know, your own path. Just keep doing it. You are doing the right thing, definitely. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I do sometimes like, oh, God, are we depriving our children? Mm-hmm. No, you're not depriving them. You're showing them something much richer. But they're going to have to make their own way through life, and they might go down that path.
Yeah, and above all, be merry. You play the ukulele. That's what one of your suggestions. thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks so much.
Tom Hodgkinson is the author of The Freedom Manifesto. He's also the author of How to Be Idle and the founder of the magazine The Idler. Thanks to Carmen Jackson for producing this hour. Thanks to Leo Duran for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.